morning. The Lord be with you. Welcome to worship with Trinity United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you are here with us today. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors of Trinity and delighted to greet you, especially if it's your first time with us. We're so glad to have you as our guest and that you've chosen to spend this time with us. Please let us know that you've been with us, whether you're new or you're here all the time, and you can do that by filling out the connection card that you'll find inside your bulletin this morning. If you're new, if you'll put as much information as you are comfortable to help us get to know you and things you might like to know more about regarding Trinity. And you'll also notice on that card that there is a place for you to write down a prayer concern. If there is something in particular that you would like to request prayer for from us as pastors or from our prayer team, we would love to support you in that way. I want to tell you about our mission box today. It is a great opportunity for us, as we do each week at Trinity, to reach beyond the doors and walls and support a ministry out in the community. Today's mission box is for pets. Now, that has nothing to do with animals, except for the humankind. You see on the screens right now a couple of pictures of what PET does. PET is stands for Personal Energy Transportation. And these are units that are constructed right here in our own state over in Penny Farms, Florida. There are volunteers who go and work there to assemble these units, which then are shipped to places all over the world, primarily rural areas, where they can be used by persons who are unable to walk. So they are often donated to landmine victims, to persons who have birth defects, or are paralyzed for some other reason. And these become a way for them to get around, particularly in areas where there are not well-paved roads. This year alone, PET is striving to build 800 of these units. And ship them out across the world. And your gifts this morning to the mission box will help make that possible. At each of our exit doors, you'll find one of those boxes. You can place your gift in those. And you can also see one of these units, if you didn't already, as you leave today out in the narthex. So again, thank you for your support of that. Well, whenever we come together here in worship, it is with the knowledge that God embraces us all. And so we're fond of thinking of anyone who comes through the doors as a part of the family. And so we say to you in that spirit this morning, welcome home. Would you stand and say good morning to others around you as we prepare to worship?
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you are able, and let's begin our worship service together by singing our opening hymn. Christ is made the sure foundation, Christ the head and cornerstone, chosen of the Lord and precious, binding.
pray with me? God, we are here today to worship you in spirit and in truth. And so set your firm foundation in us that Christ may be the foundation that all of our hope and faith is built upon. We give you thanks for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join me in affirming our faith. I'll begin. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Opportunity now to go to God in prayer and share both joys and concerns with each other and with our Lord. And as we do so, I wanted to let you know about the folks that we've been visiting with in the hospitals and rehabs and ask that you continue to keep them in your prayers. A list may come up here shortly. In addition to that, we want to celebrate with Lois Reed. Today is her 90th birthday, and so we are excited to be able to say, yay! Happy birthday, Lois. On another note, I wanted to share with you that Joyce Buff, the mother of David and Mary, did pass away last night. She had been in hospice care this week, and she passed on to eternity last evening, as did Catherine Logan and Wanda Baker's mom, Beatrice. She passed into eternity this past week as well. And so we want to keep those families in our prayers, continue to journey with them as they seek to celebrate these individuals' lives. We don't have any details yet on those service dates, but as soon as we know, we will let you know. In addition to that, in response to the shootings that happened just a couple weeks back, maybe 3 weeks at this point, in Broward County, the bishop had called upon all of us within our connectional community to consider submitting 5,000 letters and so we are in the process of collecting those, and we are encouraging you to write, not telling you what to write, but encouraging you to write, because change is needed. Whatever you are led to write, we hope that you will put that on paper, and you can bring that here. We will mail it for you. If you brought letters with you, there is a basket in the back, and you are welcome to leave those. We will put a stamp on them for you. But prayerfully consider joining us in that effort as we seek to become instruments of peace in the world in the name of Christ. We're going to have a time now where we'll have a moment of silence. You can lift up your joys and your concerns to the Lord in the quiet of your heart. And then I will lead us in a time of prayer. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come this morning perhaps a bit weary from our wandering in the wilderness, had a lost our way, we come with hearts and minds open to your leading. So we pray that you will show us the way. This Lenten season, show us how to grow deeper in our faith, deeper in our love for your Son, Jesus Christ, deeper in our relationships with each other, and deeper in our calling to be your holy church in the world. And so we pray, make us your instruments to make things right. Because we know or know of people still kept in poverty or slavery, some in fear from abusers, terrorists, and oppressors, some facing addiction, some targeted for unjust treatment simply because of who they are. Make us your instruments to make things right. Because we need courage and integrity from our leaders in religious, political, economic, and social life. Because we love and sometimes struggle with our families, friends, and neighbors. Because the lives of those who sustain and protect our lives as military, civilian workers, and first responders are full of challenge and conflict. Make us your instrument to make things right. Because we know people who need your healing power, and some who offer healing through their skill and presence. Make us your instrument to make things right. And because Jesus taught us to pray, we obey and pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have an opportunity now to give back to God out of the resources that flow into our lives as our offering to help us continue the ministries of this church, seeking to be those instruments of peace in the world. And so let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for all that you entrust in our lives. And we offer back our financial resources to you now, that you may use these funds to further your kingdom and to make things right through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Glorious things of thee are spoken. morning is known as the Sermon on the Mount. The end of the Sermon on the Mount is where what we're looking at today. The Sermon on the Mount is the largest single collection of the teachings of Jesus compiled anywhere in Scripture. And it comes to us in two different places, the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, although those sermons take place in different places. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's called the Sermon on the Mount because it says Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. In the Gospel of Luke, it's called the Sermon on the Level Place or the Sermon on the Plain because that's where he was preaching in that case. Now, many of us have heard the Sermon on the Mount enough times that we have kind of become numb to its boldness, numb to the seriousness and the difficulty of what it says. But we can rest assured that the Sermon on the Mount was radical, even shocking, for those who were hearing it for the very first time. Jesus calls his listeners to act in certain ways. He says when there is conflict, turn the other cheek. He says don't just love your friends, but also love your enemies. He challenges us to not live in the darkness, but let our eyes see healthy things and our eyes be full of light. He tells them not only not to commit adultery, but don't even lust. He tells them not only not to commit murder, but don't even be angry. He tells them to be the light and salt of the world so that others will see their good works and give glory to God in heaven. As Steve said last week, he tells them to starve their worry and feed their faith. And he tells them that the ones who are blessed are the ones who are on the margins of life. The poor, the humble and hopeless, the broken and those who mourn, the persecuted, the pure in heart, the merciful, and the peacemakers. And then after all of that teaching, right at the end, he warns them. He gives them a warning. He says, don't take these words too lightly, but really, really take these to heart. He is clear that if these words are taken seriously, that we will live in a way that goes against the grain, that it will be quite costly, even impossible to do so. So I invite you to hear with me these words from the 7th chapter of Matthew, again at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking, and he says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. On the judgment day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and do lots of miracles in your name? Then I will tell them, I've never known you. Get away from me, you people who do wrong. Everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder who built a house on bedrock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind beat and blew against that house. It didn't fall because it was firmly set on bedrock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice will be like a fool who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. It fell and was completely destroyed. When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he was teaching them like someone with authority and not like their legal experts. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me now invite you to bow your heads and pray for me in sharing this message this morning with you. And I will pray that God will speak to you. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So Jesus is quite clear in his warning this morning. He says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven. But only those who do the will of my Father will enter. In other words, you can't just talk the talk. You also have to walk the walk. Because there are those who called him Lord, but who have denied them by their conduct. I'm sure that's none of us here today. We can all think of people like that, including ourselves. They are followers of Christ, but their actions betray them. Their faith is dead because it does not result in good works. Our affirmation of faith this morning said that our faith should manifest itself in the service of love. Those good works flow out of our faith. And our faith is dead if that's not the case. And from what Jesus describes, it may even be that some of them are doing things that are deemed good. Do you remember that list? It says, we expelled demons in your name, and we did miracles in your name. Those are good things, right? But Jesus knows that in their hearts, they're not doing these things out of humble service. They don't have good intentions, but instead they're being showy and grandstanding. Even those things that could be considered good deeds are condemned by Jesus when they are done for the wrong reasons. And so did you hear what Jesus says to them? He says, then I tell them, I've never known you. You know, in the Bible, knowing someone implies a relationship. It's not knowing about someone, but knowing someone. It implies an intimate relationship, sometimes even a sexual relationship. In Genesis, it says, Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. But also, sometimes that knowing is between God and human beings. It says that about Moses, that God knew him face to face. To know someone is to have a close and intimate relationship with them. When you've been angry or very disappointed in someone, have you ever said to them, I think I've never even really known you. I don't even know who you are anymore. And that's basically what Jesus is saying here as well. He is saying that those who say that he is their Lord and they do not live like it, to them he says, I don't even know who you are anymore. Perhaps I've never even known you. And then Jesus goes on to tell this parable about the two builders and the difference between those who hear and act and those who only hear. And it's all about the foundation. You know, years ago when Steve and I were serving a church together, and that church was building its first facilities on property, the land looked great. Just this big, wide open, flat field. A perfect place to build, right? Until they tested the soil. And they found that at some point along the way, some stumps and debris had been buried in a couple of places. Well, you know what that would do to the foundation. So we had to dig up all of that and then fill back in with dirt in order to be able to build on a strong foundation. When Trinity moved here to this property, we discovered graves. And therefore, we decided how we would take care of those graves and honor the dead buried here and still find a place to build on a very sure and strong foundation. And then, there's the builder who built on the sand. And he surely, too, thought that he was building on a good foundation. He was likely building in the wadi, which is flat and wide open. And all of that sand can be easily used and manipulated. And so he built on the sand. And it was fine. It was fine for a while. But then, you see, in Palestine, 70% of the rain came between November and February. In just a four-month period of time, and the rain washes down the mountains and into the wadi and floods and washes away everything in its path, including anything built there. But the house built on the rock, well, the rains came and the floods came and the winds beat and blew against the house, and it did not fall. Now, just a side note here. Even those who build their house upon the rock will still experience the storms. None of us are immune from the storms. None of us are protected from the storms of life. We all experience tragedy and hardship and death and illness. We all experience loss of jobs and heartbreak and challenges. It is not that the house built on the rock doesn't experience the storms. It is simply that they can withstand them. But let's get practical here. What does this mean for us to build our house on a solid foundation? How exactly do we do that? How today, in this day and age, do we do that? What does it look like to be a wise person that builds your house on the rock? Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into action, puts them into practice, is like a wise builder. Now, we might think that that means upon hearing these words in the Sermon on the Mount, we need to do everything we can to put them into practice. Then we'll be like the wise builder, right? But the Sermon on the Mount is not a list of things to do. If it were, that would mean that Jesus is just bringing in a new law for us. And he came to abolish the law, not simply to abolish the old law and replace it with a new. No. The Sermon on the Mount is not full of laws that are to be followed. Think about it. How could we do that anyway? The Sermon on the Mount is a pretty tall order. How can we never be angry? How can we never lust? How can we always be a light for the world to see? How can we always be humble and have the best of intentions? How can we forgive as God forgives? I know that's beyond my ability, beyond what I can do. But that's just it. The Sermon on the Mount is incomprehensible. It is impossible to do apart from the power of Christ. We could never do and never be any of these things were it not for the work of Jesus in our lives. The Sermon on the Mount is not a list of things to do. It is who we will be and what will flow out of us if and as we are transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it says in Philippians. You can do nothing apart from me, Jesus says in the Gospel of John. So what that means is that Jesus' words are not really heard by us until they begin to work within us and transform our lives and thus direct our actions. And that only happens when they penetrate our hearts. So, the next step for you is whatever will strengthen your foundation, whatever will help you to develop roots that go down deep. Now is the time to practice your faith by cultivating your listening skills, because it is through listening and deepening your relationship with Christ that those works will be in you and will flow out of you. So, four challenges for you today. Things that you can do to strengthen that foundation. One is to pray. To pray every day. 2 hours on your knees. No. I'll give you something more realistic to start with. 10 minutes. 10 minutes a day. Not while you're driving, not while you're cleaning the house, not while you're doing other stuff. Sit and be quiet and pray for 10 minutes. Set your phone. Set your cell phone to go off. It'll feel like an eternity at first. You can do it. 10 minutes to sit and listen to God. To rest in God's love for you. Lift up prayers and sit and listen. Challenge number 2. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Don't read books about the Bible. You can do that too. Don't listen to people talk about what's in the Bible. Read your Bible. And if it is full of these and thous, which we don't speak anymore, then go and get a new one. Go to the bookstore. Go to our Trinity bookstore and Kim will help you find one so that you can read your Bible. It is through reading that we are listening to God. Read a chapter a day. That's like one column in your Bible. Steve said last week to start with Philippians. If you didn't start that now. Start reading Philippians. Then go to one of the Gospels and read through one of the Gospels. If you want the shortest one so you can accomplish it and say, I finished, then read the Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest. But read your Bible. Third, worship. Now, you all are here, so I may be preaching to the choir, as they say. But worship is so incredibly important. God calls us, God made us to worship. And it is here, when we are together, when we are singing the songs of our faith and lifting up prayers together and listening to the Word of God, that the power of the Holy Spirit moves in and among us. There are a lot of other things that fight for this time, that fight for our attention on Sunday mornings or whenever it is that you worship during the week. We have vacations and people coming into town and playing sports and watching sports and playing sports and watching sports and playing sports and watching sports. And it is so easy not to safeguard this time. But this is so important to a strong foundation. And then finally, my fourth challenge is to to be silent. Right before we came to Trinity, Steve and I took a 3-month sabbatical. And during that time, we went on a silent retreat for 4 days to a retreat center in South Georgia. Now, there was speaking when we were worshiping, and we spent an hour a day in with a spiritual director, and we could talk then. But the entire rest of the time, silence, before they strength. It is amazing what God can show you, what God can teach you, how God can speak to you when you are silent. Put away cell phones and TVs and radio and talking to other people and all of the noise that surrounds us and just be silent. So I challenge you to do that. Again, just a 10-minute walk. You don't have to not speak for 4 days to begin with. Just a 10-minute walk through the woods, a 10-minute walk out in nature where you are really just trying to be silent and look and listen for what God has to say to you. So prayer and reading your Bible and worship and being silent. I challenge you. You know, one of my favorite hymns is My Hope Is Built. Y'all are probably familiar with it, at least many of you. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid, y'all know it, rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I hope that you have not built on sinking sand. On what are you building? On what are you standing? My deepest hope for you is that you are standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and that you are relying on His grace and His righteousness with every step you take and everything you do. Gracious and loving God, it is so easy to get busy doing so many things. It's easy, easy to get busy doing good things without building a foundation on you. Not know about you, but know you and develop an intimate relationship with you. As we come to know you, O God, give us ears to hear. And may that knowledge transform our lives by your grace. And then may all that we do and all that we are be a reflection of your grace as we are salt and light to the world.
tables and our homes. Feed us, nourish us for the tasks of our lives. Weekly bread here at this table nourishes us for the work God calls us to do as God's people in the world. Here we remember God's great love for us. Here we remember the witness of God's love specifically through the person of Jesus Christ, who came to live among us and to show us the way and to offer us grace. Here we offer ourselves back to God as witnesses to that grace in the world. We remember that Jesus went about calling disciples, people who would follow in the way. And there were some who became committed to that way, who made the journey with him across his ministry. And on their last night together, the night before he would offer his life up willingly, they gathered for a final meal, and he took bread that night, and he broke it, he shared it with them and said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took a cup and gave thanks. He shared it with them and said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." We pray for you. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for this table where you invite us all. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, so that as we receive from them, we might recognize in these ordinary elements the presence of Christ, who is among us, who has offered his life, his body and blood for our sake and for the sake of the world. And we pray that we might be nourished to live as the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. That we would be made one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until that day when we feast together at your heavenly banquet table. May all honor and glory be yours now and forever. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come now and prepare to share the elements. Here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always open. It is a place where everyone finds welcome, and so whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time, we invite you to join us in the celebration of this meal, remembering God's abundant love for us. You can come to the pair of servers that is in front of your section. They'll be happy to offer you a piece of bread, and then you can take that piece of bread and dip it into the cup, receiving both elements together. And then if you'd like, there are places for you to come and pray here at the front, or you can simply return quietly to your seat. Let us come, for God is good, and God welcomes us. gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the mystery of your grace and for this meal by which we have been nourished for faithful living. Now may we rise to go out as your people, called according to your purposes, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Go out today. May you rest in the unchanging grace of Jesus Christ. No matter what whelming flood comes your way, may you know that you are loved by God and known by God. And may the power of the Holy Spirit strengthen you and hold you always. Amen.